Well, just so I'm crystal clear on what you're saying. So at WBAI, if it turns out upon the envelope check tomorrow that you are not going to extend because you've reached quorum, because we have reached quorum, then the cutoff would be like what time tomorrow? Because
no, it already happened. It happened. We're not accepting any additional requests for ballots if we're at quorum. If we're
right.
not at quorum, we'll process the requests that we've received.
No, I understand that. I'm asking when actually, what time, because the word is, you know, based on your prior statements, the word has gone out that there is still this process that you can request ballots if you never got one. So I think the general understanding is what you just said a couple minutes ago, that privilege or that right would extend up until the close date. So,
or basically the day before the close date, because if someone requests a ballot, there's no physical way to mail a ballot to them, postal mail, and get it back. It's just not...
Right, but your new extension that you announced a few days ago does allow them to the 26th, so there is physical time for them to physically get it back if they request it on tomorrow, for instance.
Well,
so
yeah.
They have more than a week.
Yeah, so that's why BAI and KPFK are... a little bit different than
right.
KPFT.
That's what I'm asking about at the moment. I'm asking about BAI and I guess KPFK was in the same boat. So in other words, just so we can be clear as people are asking
right.
us, if they just got back from out of town and discovered they never got a ballot.
They can certainly put in the request for a replacement ballot. If it's one that it has to be postal mailed to a listener, My interpretation has been a reasonable amount of time. If I were to then mail them a ballot, that would have to push the receipt date back into January. So I'm not inclined to keep mailing out ballots because then I have to do the reasonable time for them to return it, which means I can't make the December deadline.
Right. No. I get. I'm just saying. I'm just clarifying that you're saying through the end of the day tomorrow. At BAI, just focus on BAI at the moment.
Okay.
At BAI, you'll accept replacement or late ballot requests, and then that's it, unless there's an extension. But if there's no extension, it'll be end of day tomorrow, and that's it. Correct?
I'm not planning to do any mailing tomorrow, no.
But then people have not been given notice that there was this earlier deadline.
They don't. The deadline was the 18th for the entire election, and when people request a ballot, I mean, the idea that I'm doing this extension to allow for late ones is for ones that were mailed like a week ago to get those in. If I mail a ballot on Monday, then I have to do the extension into January to give them reasonable time to return it, and I can't keep extending it.
I don't think that.
Well,
that
BAI might be unique, just because it's such local mail. It might be.
Yeah.
That
no, I think it's quite reasonable.
It's somewhat different than KPFK.
Yeah, if it's mailed to them Monday afternoon, they could certainly get it, you know, by Wednesday and turn it around.
That's conceivable. All right. Well, let me think about that. The problem is if I pick a different date for KPFK and WBAI, they're in the same position. It's because I don't want my reasonable date definition, reasonable amount of time to return definition. If I keep sending out ballots, they might physically be able to get it back, but they could say I didn't have reasonable time to get it back, and they didn't get it back. Then, by my definition of what's reasonable time, I've screwed the entire election, and the entire election gets thrown out, and there's no certified results for BAI because I wasn't able to give them reasonable time to get it back before the end of the month. And I think that if I keep mailing on Monday, there's a risk that there'll be simply no election certification for BAI. Everything has repercussions down the line. So I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
All right.
All right, thanks. Okay, other people.
Michael, to the tech.
Go ahead.
I did want to thank Terry for the service and thank you.
I'm sorry, Michael, you're muffled. Is there anything you can adjust?
Sorry. Yeah, sure. Thank you. I wanted to thank Terry for the diligence in trying to get the situation cleared up. I'm still getting emails from members of the paid staff saying they have still not received
the PDF. Margaret Prescott just sent me an email.
It may well be that they have an email address that's different than the one the station provided. And we can't just use their email address. It has to be provided by the station. It has to be their
email. Right, yeah, I sent their email to check on that. But the email address you used was the one that I'd seen on the list that I previously saw that was sent. The original list that was sent to them apparently only had email addresses and not postal addresses. And the email that she used to write that she still hadn't gotten one was the email that was on that list. So...
Wait, this is an unpaid staff person?
No, paid staff.
Okay. That list we had both postal addresses and email addresses, but if there was no postal address, they were emailed about. Now, there's somebody who says they didn't get that email. They should probably check their spam folder or something.
Okay. All right.
Well, I can offer something helpful here because I was the person that took the notice that KPFK paid staff had not gotten ballots and spoke with Frank Fatone of ESC when I was out there last Tuesday at the ballot count and had him go through the database and check, you know, who hadn't. And the list I had was just simply from the public website of KPFK. And then I later found out a couple days later that Margaret Prescott's name didn't appear on that website. So she may still to this day not be listed as a paid staff person who deserves a ballot. So that may be, you know, something that has to be rectified right away because I just wasn't aware that that was her status. So,
but the station did send in the original list the station sent apparently only had email addresses. That's why it was never entered. And then there was a second list that had both email addresses and postal addresses, and Margaret's on that list. So, yes, we should have it.
All right. Okay, anyone else? Well, all right, if there's no one else, I just want to say, Terry alluded to my position on the question of the seating of the new LSBs, when that has to be and what that means for the question of extensions, and he did characterize my position accurately, but I just want to state it for the record that to me the language in the bylaws is extremely clear. It says, if no quorum of ballots is obtained by the extended date, then those delegates whose terms would have expired upon the election of new delegates shall remain in office until the next regularly scheduled election. But what's extremely clear is the part about if no quorum of ballots is obtained by the extended date, which a few lines above that says the NES can extend for up to 4 weeks as needed to meet quorum. And while I certainly understand that there are other provisions of the bylaws that talk about seating the new board in December, it seems like it's overwhelmingly clear that when you have this series of catastrophes, both financial and weather and others, and you have the fact that this has been, that these extensions have been unavoidable to make sure everyone has their right to vote, that you can't then turn around and say, well, you know, even though with a short additional extension, perhaps 3 or 4 days or maybe a week, we would have probably made quorum, but because there's some rigid December 31st cutoff that's not going to be possible, and so people who have finished their three-year terms will be allowed to sit for an entire year, even though the quorum might have been obtained. I think that's a serious misreading of the intent of the bylaws. And so I just wanted to state that.
This is Jane. I'd like to ask something.
Sure, go ahead.
So is there a position to the contrary of that that's being put forth?
Yeah, I am saying that there's 3 or 4 provisions in the bylaws that specify that the election must be completed by December because that's when the terms of the new elections of new delegates begins. There's even a specific provision talking about if the election schedule is changed by the Pacifica National Board, blah, 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 which does not really fit under that because it was not done by the Pacifica National Board. It was done by fiat, by the executive director. but that section talks about if there's a different schedule than the one set in the bylaws, one of the things it states specifically is the election schedule, the modified schedule, must allow for the seating of the new members in December. I mean, it's very specific.
And if I can just add, because I actually wrote that language, it was the 2007 bylaws amendments, and the clear intent was to push the board to plan ahead, because the language was they have to do it an entire year before the election by a two-thirds vote to set a different schedule than the one in the bylaws. And that's not even remotely what's happening here. This is a series of unavoidable things beyond the foundation's control that have pushed the whole process back. And I would also add just one last point, is that if, let's say, to meet quorum at a given station, it would mean extending to January 3rd or 4th or 5th, and so the board would be seated maybe, you know, January 12th or whatever. We're talking about a short 1 or 2 week period. If the board isn't meeting, then no business is happening anyway. So the people whose terms, you know, would quote-unquote be extended by a week or 2 weeks are actually not able to do anything because the body hasn't met. And the moment the newly seated board meets, then those other people are gone. So it doesn't even have any practical difference to doing it, you know, to cramming it into the week between Christmas and New Year's when it's going to be next to impossible to get a quorum. So I don't agree with the decision that one bylaws provision must trump the other, no matter how much it, you know, kind of defies the common sense about allowing the voters to weigh in and elect a new board and not be stuck with a board from 3 years earlier.
Well, actually, the two bylaws are consistent with each other in that the extension is at my discretion, and I'm required by my reading the bylaws to close the election up in December. And so my discretion is to comply with that other bylaw provision. So they're not inconsistent with each other. It's just that one limits how much I can use the other one. But anyway, we're going round and round.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else?
Jane, if nobody else.
Go ahead, Jane.
The question about the new board actually being seated in December seems like it's not going to happen here at WPFW because of people's schedules. Our chair did not bring it up last week. Some of the people I've talked to informally said, I would not support trying to push a meeting after the 20th. Because you're getting into schedules where it's just a lot of people go out of town, and it's not the comment was made, it's just not realistic to think if we cannot actually, this is just a casual conversation, because the chair did not even bring it up for discussion, but it's from our standpoint, it's probably going to be a moot point. We're probably not going to actually be able to meet.
Well, see, not meeting is the board, perhaps the LSB or the chair, not complying with the bylaws, and I don't care about that.
Okay.
What I care about is my contract to comply with the bylaws.
Right.
And if they are certified in December, then my task has been fulfilled. And you know, if LSB calls a meeting for December 31st, has a meeting at which only one person shows up, they simply adjourn to the next month, and I believe they've complied with the bylaw requirement to have the meeting. They don't have a quorum. A motion to adjourn is in order and can be adopted by less than a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyone else?
Yeah, Nancy, to the stack.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Bob and Jane, because you expressed everything that I was wanting to say. And, you know, Pacifica is not really supposed to be, I mean, Pacifica's viewpoint of our rules and our bylaws is just like any government's laws and bylaws. It's not in itself to follow these rules blindly or without. It's just a guideline and how can I say this? I mean, even judges, I mean, they ignore archaic or antique laws or laws that don't apply. And in this case, this is a very strange, you know, it's like you're, it's like we have some strange laws in Texas that a lot of judges just don't even, just ignore and don't follow because they're not, and they haven't been taken off the books, they're still there, but it does not apply in this case. And so for the practicality, we've already discussed at our board, and we're going to have a hard time just to get them to come, and what we have lost in the way of getting a fair election, we've lost much more by not having extension than if we were to, you know, finish in December with only nobody showing, not enough quorum, and not getting enough to do. And if you look at that, you know, and then don't be a stickler with points that don't even, you know, help Pacifica. I mean, the best thing is to help Pacifica. And Bob already told you the reason why that rule was made. And I agree at that time for that purpose. So I don't understand you, Terry. Please reconsider. Plus, you know, if you would allow extension for more candidates' conversation with the voters, you know, that would be fairer for KPFT. I mean, I know you think we had so many on-air forums that other stations did not have, and they were all at the same time and same day in the mornings, those 1-hour candidate forums with three people on them, and then the 19-minute with one person. They were all between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m., so we only got the you know, those, that audience only. So those cards were really, really much more important than I think you realize. And they were not fair. And already another candidate was given another 19-minute show, shared with another. So this is, he got two instead of, and all the other candidates. We've got a lot of bad things still going on. I mean, we have candidates who changed their cart and allowed to do that, and I still haven't gotten back from the LES why that was allowed. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy circus thing going on at KPFT, but to get back to this point, please reconsider about this, and which decision would be more helpful for Pacifica?
Well, I will say one last thing about that. It was I have asked the attorney, Andy Gold, for Pacifica at the national office for his reading of that bylaws provision, and I haven't heard back from him. And in a conversation with Bob earlier today, he said, please, can you call Andy tomorrow and pressure him to give you some advice on that?
Well, I don't think I said pressure, but okay. Encourage him.
And push him. Time again.
I'm sorry, you want to finish your statement?
No, I just that I will pursue that in terms of if he says, oh, no, there's no way that that's a concern. No, that's fine. You can do that. If he says that might modify me. But and I'm not a lawyer, but I'm contractually obligated to try and comply with the bylaws as much as I can. Whether people like them or think that they're archaic or whatever, it doesn't matter. It's my job.
And we're at time again.
Okay, thanks, Anthony. All right, well, I just want to again thank Terry not only for the quality and detail of all the reports he's given this committee, but also just for your incredibly hard work and overall fairness. I mean, obviously, I don't necessarily agree with every decision you've made, but I think you've made it with tremendously good faith and really looking out for the best interests of the foundation. And I think we all really, really appreciate that. Okay, so now we're ready to go on to the next item, which is suggestions for process to evaluate the 2012 elections early next year.
Can I just say one thing, and then
sure.
I want to try and get off the phone call, if I may. I mentioned to some people who might have been early on the call, or maybe it was an earlier conversation, that I'm going to try and do my final report rather quickly after the certification. So hopefully the committee will have my final report. It's not going to be an exhaustive report touching on everything that went on in the elections, but certainly the high points of the things that went exceptionally well, like new things that were done that were not done before, or things that went exceptionally badly, will be discussed. And in some extent, there might be some actual suggestions about improvements, but the suggestions for improvements are going to be rather narrow in that, say, like, the foundation needs to do a better job of keeping records of its members. How you do that, I'm not going to get into that level of detail. So, all right.
That's all I have. Terry, hold on. Before you get off, I just want to ask you, for our scheduling of the January meeting, and we talked briefly before, but do you have just a date that would be safe, that you feel would be safe to say that we could meet with your report done? In other words, are we talking January 15th, January 20th?
Before that, my target is actually to try, if I don't have to do more quorum extensions and keep pushing back the tally too far, I would love to be able to actually issue a final report before the end of the year. But by the first week of January, I certainly should be able to.
Great. And one last question.
Can I interject for a second?
Yeah. No, Michael, one second. I just want to know if you might be willing.
Before Terry gets up.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Before.
Yep,
no,
I'll hold.
Would you be willing to consider coming to that one last meeting to kind of look back at the process? Because your insights would be invaluable. January meeting.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, Michael.
I wanted to ask that Terry make sure that each of the LESs writes their report, because that's been a problem.
Oh, yeah, their contracts were written so that they don't get their final paycheck until they submit that report.
Finally.
Okay, thanks.
It's about time. Thank you again.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, so you heard Terry tell us that by the time of our next meeting, which is the next decision we have to make after this, we will have his report, which will be a really good foundation to start moving, you know, forward on a plan to fix the problems from this year. So, does anyone have any thoughts? I mean, we don't have to get deeply into this tonight, but just to start our thinking process about how we want to evaluate this election. We have, Anthony, 10 minutes.
Oh, okay.
The floor is open.
Well, Nancy,
yes.
I think we ought to be able to get all the LES's reports and Terry's written stuff and start from there.
Right.
What day are we going to meet?
Well, we'll get to that in a minute, but first, other thoughts on process.
Yes, I'd like to add one more thing.
Sure.
What's missing in this election is poll watchers. I mean, we have to have a better system of checking the cards as they're being played, as well as before they're being played, and not just way, way after, because a whole lot of horrible things may have happened at the other stations that nobody's aware of unless you've got access to the master archives. And we cannot even check the audits that have come to us from the program director at KPFD, from the LES, and from even independent made by one of the candidates, because things are disappearing, and also things are not even on the web. The web archive is so different from what is supposed to have been done. So things came deleted off the web.
Okay, Nancy, let me interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Perhaps
go ahead.
I wasn't clear. I wasn't trying to open a discussion of what the problems were. I was trying to look at the process we should use to pull together all of those at the next meeting, not at this meeting. So, in other words, maybe if someone might be willing to volunteer a list of the categories of problems that we could bring into the next meeting and sort of fill in the blanks and say, you know, the question of the nomination process, the on-air candidate debates, the on-air carts, you know, the extension of deadlines, the, you know, assembling staff lists, assembling listener lists. That's what I mean, that kind of, like, what are the categories we need to look at? Rather than the actual content. That's not for tonight. So does anyone have any other ideas about the process?
I think we should solicit some input from both the listeners and the staff.
Okay. Well, do you have any suggestion how to do that?
Maybe an on-air announcement or a letter to the staff at each station.
Okay. I mean, these are definitely things to think about. I, I have some concerns about an on-air announcement because I'm not sure that that's a good use of airtime for something that really only a small subset of people are likely to be interested in. But we can discuss it, of course. Anyone else have any suggestions to put on the table for next month?
This is Jane.
Yes.
I think that the past local election supervisor reports that I've seen from our station did not have very much in common with what I perceived was going on, and I wonder if we could take the I think it would be helpful if the each station were to take that local report and perhaps provide a little bit of analysis, little check, alternative perspective on things. I think that while it's good to get that LES report, I really found a lot of what went into past reports to be too myopic. There was too much disconnect between what the LESs were perceiving and what some of us on the outside were seeing.
Okay, so do you have an idea of how to gather those other perspectives? Would it be committee from that station?
I think that what Michael, was it Michael who just mentioned getting some feedback from staff and perhaps at least the candidates? The candidates could share their input. I think having if that LES report was made available to all of the candidates and say, you know, please share your comments. I think perhaps just getting feedback on that LES report, if that's feasible, would be one way of doing one approach that could be taken.
Okay. Nancy, can I ask for you to take a couple of notes on some of these suggestions?
Oh, yes, and I'm going to play the thing backwards. I hope it comes out because you said a whole bunch of categories, and I didn't write anything down, and I want to play that back.
Okay.
Yeah. So I already got listeners, staff input, candidates, and my question is, should we let everybody see everything?
Well, as far as I know, unless one of the reports deals with some confidential personnel matter, that it's a totally all totally public documents.
Well, I think that would be wonderful then, because I think the candidates have input that they need to see what staff are saying, because we're hearing weird things. You know, staff say, the IDs and what was in Wire Ready weren't the same, and I have never heard of these terms. I don't even know what it means. And the LES saying, they did not covert, the files were corroded, could not check. Well, these things, first time for me to hear these things. But how do we get to the listeners? It's maybe a newsletter that we can have some sort of guarantee that it is going to all the members. But, you know, not all our members have computers and emails.
Okay, so let me just make a last call. We're almost out of time. Anyone who hasn't spoken want to address this question of process for evaluating this election? Okay, well then let's all think about it. It would be great, Nancy, if, you know, in the next week or whatever we can have, you could put out some of the notes from today or 2 weeks. I realize it's a holiday. So, you know, when it's possible, just put out a few notes for us to think further about how to do this in an efficient way and in a thorough way. Okay, so I think
I have a question.
Yes.
Which stations have an election committee or one of your committees that's actually doing work on elections during the rest of the year?
Well, I can say WBAI does not. Can each of the stations, each of the reps from stations say whether you do or you don't? How about T, Nancy?
Nothing, no.
Okay.
I think we need to do that.
Okay. A, someone from A? Is there a local committee?
Nope.
Okay. K?
Nope.
Was that K?
No, no.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the person.
Are you talking about the election committee that works with the LES or something?
Right.
No, election committee, some group of board members.
Do you have one, Michael? Do you have a local committee?
No.
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 Okay. I think I covered all five, right?
No, nope. Yeah. WPFW does not.
Okay. So the answer is no, none of them have them this year.
So which do we put it in governance or... Lydia's, I think Lydia would have said it would have gone in inclusion if she's still on the line, but
well,
we don't have a committee of inclusion either.
That's for the January meeting. So.
Okay.
All right, so we're done with this item, and all that's left is setting our January meeting. So I have the KPFTX calendar open, and, well, first let's decide which week we want to aim at. It's basically the there's the week that starts Monday the 7th, I would say, or the week that starts Monday the 14th. Maybe to allow the reports to be filed, why don't we give it, is everyone okay waiting till the week of the 14th to meet? Any objection to that? Okay, hearing none. Monday's taken, so the choices are Tuesday. Now Wednesday... No, actually, I was going to say that's our board meeting, but we're the second Wednesday, so that might be available. Okay, so Tuesday the 15th, Wednesday the 16th, or Thursday the 17th. Why don't we choose among those three? Any suggestions? They're all open.
17th, Thursday, is that bad?
I have a question that might be related to that. When are the LSB supposed to meet in order to elect their PNB members by?
The bylaws language is vague. It just says early January. That's the phrase. So that's been historically interpreted to mean the first half of the month. However, since the certification is going to be so late this year, that may get pushed, you know, I don't know, by a week or something like that, push back. So it's all very unpredictable. And we have to remain flexible that because of this calendar screw-up that a day we may want to pick, an LSB may decide that's the only day they can meet, and then we would have to reschedule. So, you know, we'll just have to maintain that flexibility. There is a provision in the bylaws that the chair can call a meeting, so... you know, I would certainly try to poll everyone before shifting it, but let's try to set, or maybe we could even, why don't we set a first choice and a second choice, and then if that happens, we'll already have pre-decided. So shall we say...
I have a question as well.
Sure, go ahead. That's Sasha.
Sasha, so what about those of us who are termed off the boards and will no longer be...
Oh, we still need to meet.
Right.
So we continue on the committee until... The board
Please.
Has elected their representatives or what? I don't understand.
That is correct.
Who is that?
So we're still doing hard time, you mean?
was that Wesley who said it's correct?
That's correct, correct.
That was my understanding, but I thought I'd double-check that one.
Well,
right.
I think we should meet anyway, even if you're on the...
Nancy, she wasn't suggesting not to meet. She was asking who can be on the committee for that meeting.
Oh. Yes,
but still,
and
if you're not on the committee, you can still come. I mean, it's not nobody can throw you off.
No, if you're not on the committee, you could probably listen in on the stream, but you couldn't participate in the committee meeting.
No, you still can.
Excuse me,
for us to do the.
Okay, Nancy, please wait to be called upon.
Yes, sorry.
Okay,
am I still on?
Yes, is that Wesley?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. Actually, I'm on the PNB, so I will be. I will be holding on a little later until there are new members selected to the PNB from KPFT. Okay, thank you.
I guess my question is, if you are an LSB member, not a PNB member, do you go off the committee at the moment you go off the LSB, or do you continue on the committee until the LSB elects its committee members?
Right, and I don't know the definitive answer, but I can tell you what past practice has been to my recollection, which could be wrong, but I believe because I think actually this happened to me on several occasions, so at least I remember my own history that in years I wasn't term limited. If the election of committee members almost never happened at the at our LSB, it almost always happened at the February meeting.
Right.
So it was generally agreed that the members of each PNB committee continued to sit until their successors were elected. But that might be different if you're term limited after 6 years. Right. I believe that that means that, you know, you no longer have any access to a function of being an LSB member.
Right. So it would seem to me that there are several of us that applies to. At least there are two of us on this committee. Well, maybe Andrea Turner. There are three of us on this committee from KBFA who are termed out.
Right. But you know, I don't know. This is kind of an unusual circumstance, so I don't know definitively. Does anyone else want to address this? Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Remember we had Bill Crozier, and we were inviting him on so many times. We can have guests, too, because the main purpose is to get feedback. Oh, I'm hearing feedback. Well, the main reason is so we can get together, and we don't want to lose all the information and Sasha or Andrea or all of us. So even though we are not on officially as a member, I think at least for one or two times, or at least one time where we get things, our history, our diary, our recommendations for the future, I think we have to have these people as guests or. Well, anyway.
Okay. Well, let me take up that
Tracy
suggestion.
Stack.
Okay. Sure. 1 minute. I just want to take up what Nancy suggested. I think it's really an excellent idea. She's absolutely right. This committee in particular and others in general have always had the freedom to invite guests. And so I would move that any current member of this committee who is term limited should be invited as a guest, a non-voting guest, to participate in the January meeting of this committee. So that's now up for discussion. Go ahead, Tracy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds fine. We're actually doing something like that with the finance committee as well. That's a good idea, especially for continuity. What I wanted to say is that there just should be a distinction between LSB members that are termed out and PNB members that are termed out, because the PNB term runs a bit longer. Generally, a month, we'll have to see how it pans out this year. But for people like Andrea Turner and Wesley Bethune, they would not lose their voting privileges until the PNB turns over, while the LSB generally turns over a month earlier. So when it comes to voting privileges, you just need to make that distinction between LSB members that are termed out and PNB members that are termed out. It's not the exact same date.
Okay, thank you for that. All right, we're almost at time, so is there any other discussion about, well, first my motion about the guests? Any objection to inviting all the current members as guests if they're termed out? Okay, hearing none, then they are invited. And you know who you are, so just advise us at the start of the January meeting that you're here as a guest this time rather than as a continuing member. Now back to the date. So I guess having heard no objections, I guess I'll move that our first choice be Tuesday the 15th, January 15th, and second choice Wednesday the 16th. Is there any other discussion about dates?
Can we put... Usually the third is an outreach for us at KPFT, and the third Tuesday is usually a development meeting, but is there a third choice? 17th,
well,
it looks like Affiliates is taking that third Thursday. And okay, all right, I'll have to sacrifice one of those, either development or finance.
Okay. Any other comments before we finalize this?
So 15th or 16th.
Okay. Well, then, if there's no objection, then that's the decision that we're scheduled for the 15th with the discretion granted to me as chair that if I hear that there's an LSB meeting anywhere on the 15th, that we will shift to the 16th. Okay? All right. Any last burning comments before we wrap up? Okay, hearing
Sasha, just to say it's been interesting.
Yes, it has. It's been a very good committee to work with. So I thank all of you for your hard work and your mutual respect. And I guess we'll see everyone next year.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Happy New Year.